bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Ryan, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Today's study centers on a problem that plagues a lot of people's approach to evangelism, and that is attempting to point people to things other than Jesus Christ. Now, it's certainly not wrong to invite the unchurched or the unconverted to church. We need to do that. But what is often needed before that is a personal evangelistic encounter where we can point them to Jesus Christ. Now, this can be a little intimidating, but it follows the biblical pattern. So to learn more about this issue, we invite you to join with us as we study from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. One of the truly outstanding identifying marks of the early church is that of evangelism. Now, this thought is not based upon mere human assumption, but rather it's based upon clearly documented facts found in the Word of God itself. The early church was an extremely evangelistic church. In fact, this is the way that Christ intended her to be. And by her actions in this area that are recorded in the Holy Scriptures, we observe that she is faithfully carrying out this divine mandate, as well as serving as a tremendous role model for us today. She exemplifies in her actions the biblical pattern of the New Testament gospel churches set forth by Jesus Christ himself. Now, in what is often called the Great Commission, there are three main elements or three main principles that governs the overall ministry of the church. These are principles that Christ commissioned to his body to faithfully carry out. And these three major areas include discipleship, baptism, and education. Now, discipleship is an essential part of evangelism. In the commission, Jesus teaches his followers to go, therefore, and disciple or teach all nations. In other words, as believers go about their daily lives, they are to seek, to find, and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. They are to solicit and encourage others to follow Christ, which leads to the second principle of baptism. Those that make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ are to be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The ordinance of baptism marks the sincerity or the identifying feature of one who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It also forms the basis into the fellowship of the local church. And once believers are part of the local visible body of Christ, they are to be educated. And this leads to the final part. They are to be taught to observe everything that Jesus Christ has commanded. We are to instruct, we are to equip these new believers, in fact, all believers, the teachings of Scripture so that they can live fruitful and productive lives. Now, based on the commission of Christ himself, it is clearly evident that his church is to be an evangelizing church. It is to be a baptizing church, and it is to be an educating church. And a part of this is for the benefit of the body itself, as well as for the maturing and strengthening of individual believers. And a part of this process, as it relates to education, is to instruct and encourage in the area of still making more disciples, which again goes back to the focus of evangelism. And this is to be a continual cycle until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in essence, this is the ministry of the church. However, we must observe that effective biblical evangelism is not a major and consistent part of a lot of congregations. In fact, in some churches, this aspect of ministry is all but dead. And yet, this should not be reflective of those who claim to be believers in Jesus Christ and part of His church body. You see, you and I do not have the privilege of choosing and bypassing those areas of ministry that we wish to implement, or perhaps those areas of ministry that we don't wish to implement in our churches. Christ has already done that, and quite sufficiently, I might add. The pattern of the church has already been established by Jesus Christ. And so in order for us to be an effective, obedient church, we must conform ourselves to that established pattern that is found in the Scriptures. So again, we must be an evangelizing church, we must be a baptizing church, and we must be an educating church. And I would dare to say that all of these find their pinnacle in the principle of worship. In fact, we might even add this by saying that we must be a worshiping church, because the principle of worship is declaring God's worth. And when we evangelize, we declare the worth of God. When we baptize, we are declaring God's worth. And when we educate individuals, we again are declaring God's worth. So it takes all of these basic principles for a church to function properly and to be effective in her overall ministry. But again, a crucial part of that is evangelism. Now today I want us to focus our thoughts on returning or becoming an evangelistic church. So with those thoughts in mind, read with me from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Now, evangelism is clearly a major and vital part of Christianity. It is an area which receives a tremendous amount of attention. In fact, it's almost impossible to listen to Christian radio, watch Christian television programming, browse through a Christian bookstore, or even attend a church worship service without the concept of evangelism being focused upon in some way. And we must understand that in a very realistic manner, evangelism is also big business today. There are countless evangelistic programs and procedures that are available on the market for churches to use as their evangelistic program. But even with all of this attention that is focused on evangelism, with all of the material and programs that are available, the church, at least in general terms, is not being effective in her evangelistic ministry. And perhaps the greatest reason for this is that the contemporary church has become what some have labeled church building oriented. For example, if we were to take an average person, whether churched or unchurched, and ask them to explain to us the concept of the New Testament gospel church as taught in the Word of God, much of their response would focus primarily on the physical church building. And why not? After all, 95 to 99% of the church's ministry and activities take place inside the church building. But, however, you have to understand that the physical building that we call the church is not the church in the New Testament concept. The church refers to the body of Christ, the redeemed individuals that make up that spiritual body. Therefore, the church is to be intimate and personal because it consists of people. Christ died personally for personal individuals. Christ is a personal Savior. Salvation and repentance is a personal experience. Our relationship with Jesus Christ and to his people is a personal thing. And therefore, evangelism, in a very real sense, must be personal also. However, when it comes to personal evangelism, we often have a hands-off attitude. But listen to what one author stated about this. He said, "We all talk about the wonders of being a Christian, but we leave ourselves wide open for serious doubts on the part of the non-Christian. He has every right to ask, if it's so great, why confine it to yourself? Why don't you share it with others?" I remember hearing a story about two golfers. One golfer was a Christian, and the other was not. Now, the non-Christian would always ask the Christian to golf with him on Sundays. And the Christian would always say, "No, I can't go play golf today because I'm going to church." Well, finally, one day, the non-Christian golfer said, "For a long time now, I've asked you to go play golf with me every Sunday, and you've always said no because you had to go to church. But not once have you asked me to go to church with you." Now, at this point, we need to clarify that personal evangelism and simply inviting others to church are not synonymous. They are not the same thing. Inviting others to church is a very important ministry. But depending upon the case, personal evangelism should actually precede inviting one to church. If we base our entire evangelistic efforts on simply inviting someone to church, our evangelistic ministry, for all practical purposes, will fail. Listen to some statistics concerning invitational programs. One resource said that churches average converting only 1 out of 5 that they invite. Churches convert only 1 out of 240 unchurched individuals in the community which are not invited. 80% of all converts today are won through invitations, but almost approximately 80% of these invited pass through without ever truly being converted. In other words, they simply pass through like a revolving door. More than 80% of the American people never attend church. And finally, 90% of all the people you invite never actually attend church. You see, this whole approach of making your evangelistic procedure simply inviting one to church is like the statement that is taken from the motion picture Field of Dreams. In other words, if you simply invite them, they will come. But in essence, this concept of evangelism is based on the idea that if they will just come to church, then perhaps they will get converted. But this method simply will not help us to effectively fulfill the Great Commission. And the reason is quite simple. Most people will not come. If we use inviting others to church as our sole method of evangelism, then we are actually saying only those who will come to church, expose themselves to the preaching of God's Word, and who receive the message are the only ones that we can expect to convert. But again, the problem is that most people will not come. C.S. McCorkle says, "The lost world has been trying to tell us something. Please be sure your pastor has a doctor's degree, air-condition your building, and cushion your pews, invite us to church through all the media, even ask us to come, and we still will not come." Another writer has said, "Asking people to come to church is the greatest substitute for effective personal evangelism ever invented. We must stop inviting people to church and start pointing or inviting them to Jesus Christ and then to the church." You see, some people who think they are practicing evangelism are actually practicing a weakened or distorted evangelism. Instead of pointing people to Christ, they point people to their church building. They point people to some doctrine or perhaps even some practice. But that's not biblical evangelism. Biblical evangelism is pointing people to Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Now, what is the answer to effective biblical evangelism? The answer is personal evangelism. In other words, person to person. An encounter that is personal and intimate, whereby we can clearly show our love and concern for them by witnessing to them about Jesus Christ. By witnessing to them the fact that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. That in Christ there is forgiveness. In Christ there is freedom from bondage to sin. In Christ there is peace and abundant living, a life full of happiness and joy. But we must also warn them of the dangers of eternal damnation. Now in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus says, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." But as one has clearly stated, it's apparent that we have exchanged the command to go with an invitation to come to our church building. Now when Jesus tells us to go, he is implying an active response on our part to go out into the world and evangelize or to witness. If you notice, not much is said, if anything, about the unconverted coming into the church building. But rather the focus is that Christians are to go into the world, or as they go throughout their daily life, they are to go in the sense of approaching people to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are so many ways that this can be done, and there are several principles that are involved of discipling others. But it's been said that the problem is that it's easier to get the unconverted into the church than it is to get the church people to go to the homes of the unconverted. You see, the responsibility lies principally with the believer. In other words, Christ has told us to go, or as we go through our life, to seek the opportunities to bear witness of Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of ways that we can do that if we just simply train ourselves and be sensitive to the opportunities that God provides for us. Now, sometimes in those opportunities, we may never see the fruition of our evangelistic encounters. It may be that we sow seeds that will bear fruit another time and in another place. But in this ministry of personal evangelism, I want you to keep in mind that there will be times of victory if we go in the power of the Holy Spirit, if we are led of Him and are dependent upon Him to bring conviction and repentance as He sees fit and not us. You see, you and I can never make anyone believe. We cannot make them repent of their sins and have faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, we're not called to do that. That's the business of God. But we are called upon to bear faithful witness of the truth of the gospel to whomever and whenever we have opportunity and are led by the Holy Spirit. You see, the primary purpose of the church in terms of practical ministry, both at the corporate level and the individual level, involves the communication or the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8, we have a ripple effect that describes the presence and success of personal evangelism. Jesus says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The early church has its origins in Jerusalem. And if you read through the book of Acts, it begins to spread to the surrounding areas in Judea, and then further to Samaria, and then finally to the uttermost parts of the earth, as understood in that day, by the Apostle Paul's ministry. And through this process of personal evangelism, the church and the kingdom are still growing. People are still being added. So here, let me ask you, where is your Jerusalem? That is, your home area. Where is your Judea, your community? Where is your Samaria? That is, the various races and ethnic groups around us. And where is your uttermost part of the earth? You see, if we're going to be an evangelizing church, we must be evangelizing individuals. We must be exercising the entire Christian life, such as prayer, reading and studying the Word of God, applying the Word of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be consistent with our own spiritual lives, and we need to be regularly witnessing of the love and grace of Jesus Christ in our own lives, as well as evangelizing others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, encouraging them to repent of their sins and place their faith in Christ. Now, I will also add that in order for personal evangelism to be effective, we must be spiritually prepared. And a major part of that is being empowered by the Holy Spirit. But a lot of this empowerment goes back to those basic principles that we've just mentioned. If we are a people of prayer, if we're reading and studying the Word of God, if we're applying the principles of God's Word to our lives, if we present ourselves to be used by the Lord, if we seek His guidance, if we are living consistent Christian lives, if we share with others what the Lord is doing in our lives, what He has done for us, then we will already be, I think for the most part, ready and prepared to evangelize others in a very personal way. Now, as a result, it's imperative that we understand that attending church worship services is not all that God requires of us. He also expects us to evangelize. He expects us to be trained in that area, to seek out that training, or as churches to provide that training for our members to enable them to give a better, a more effective, and clearer witness of Jesus Christ. Now, some say that they're not qualified to do that. Some say that they've not been taught to do that. But some use those as excuses because they simply don't want to be involved in personal evangelism. Now, I will say this. If you are a believer, then you're qualified. Now, it may be that you haven't been taught appropriately, and you might be fearful, and it can be a fearful and intimidating thing to give your witness or to speak to others about Jesus Christ. But if you are a believer and sincerely want to follow Christ, then He will enable you because there are provisions that He has given, there is training that can be had, and you can evangelize others. Now, I think in this particular discussion, an appropriate prayer for the church can be found in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, where it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." You see, if this verse reflects our own personal lives or the congregations to which we belong, we can begin to realize that inviting others to church is an important ministry, but also that it's not the same thing as engaging in personal evangelism. Generally, personal evangelism should precede inviting others to church. Now, I'm not saying that's to be the case in every situation, but quite often, people are not simply going to come to church just because you invite them. But if you engage them in an evangelistic way, they will probably be more apt to attend church when you do invite them. Now, challenges are given by pastors quite often to the simple fact that if each member sought to evangelize just one person, and for the sake of argument, they were successful in that evangelistic encounter, that church could double its size and its potential ministry. And if those new ones that came in did the same thing, the potential for growth would in some respect be unlimited. Now, I believe that ultimately the size of a church is established by the sovereignty of God. But I also believe very strongly that every member should be actively involved in reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to invite those to our churches, but primarily we need to invite them and point them to the only Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ. You see, you and I might be limited, but God is not. Never be ashamed to share with someone the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never be ashamed to share that which holds such a sense of preciousness to you, that which you value. Never be ashamed to share that which gives you hope, which gives you assurance, which provides motivation when it comes to living for Christ. Because a lot of times, It's when we don't share the gospel that perhaps reveals that Jesus Christ may not be as important to us as we sometimes think, or the impression that we sometimes give. It may reveal that Christ is not our priority like he should be. Now again, I know that it can be sometimes intimidating to share your faith, especially to a hostile world, a world that is growing in its hatred and hostility towards Christ and towards God. But remember, the shame and the agony that he went through in a very public way to pay our sin debt. So how can we be ashamed of the glorious message of Jesus Christ when he suffered in such a public way for us? If you love the Lord, share his word. And if you don't know how, then learn how. If you're fearful, pray to the Lord for strength and for guidance. Look up passages in Scripture which speaks of various ones and their witness, such as the Apostle Paul, how in spite of all odds and obstacles, he boldly proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are so many people in your own daily lives that need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Be that light in a world darkened by sin. Well, until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayer.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's holy word, to the saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to his lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.